हुकम करोति वाचा लंपंगुम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणम परमानंद माधवम श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरम। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 4 टाइटल हिरण्यकशिपु टेररिजेस द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट 37। लेट्स चैंट द श्लोका, होप एवरीवन इज रेडी विद द वर्स। न्यस्तक्रीडनको बालो जडवत्तन् मनस्तया कृष्णग्रहगृहीतात्मा न वेद जगदीदृशम्। ट्रांसलेशन: फ्रॉम द वेरी बिगिनिंग ऑफ हिज चाइल्डहुड प्रहलाद महाराज वॉज अनइंटरेस्टेड इन चाइल्डिश प्लेथिंग्स। Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Purport: Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, स्थावर जंगम देखे ना देखे तार मूर्ति सर्वत्र है निज इष्ट देव स्फूर्ति। A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita 538. प्रेमाञ्जनाचरितं भक्ति विलोचनेन संतः सदैव हृदयेषु विलोकयन्ति यं श्याम सुंदरम अचिंत्य गुणस्वरूपम् गोविंदमादिपुरुषम् तमहं भजामि। I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee or Mahatma who is rarely to be seen remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of Mahabhagavat. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, Mahabhagavat sees him to be always engaged in Krishna service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly, to Mahabhagavat, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna service. Prahlad Maharaj is approved Mahabhagavat, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment, Naisargiki Rati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Viraktir Anyatracha, the symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible, but Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first class devotional service, was always absorbed in trance of Krishna consciousness. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain, a Mahabhagavat like Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Okay, so I don't think today we're going to move ahead than one verse. This is my favorite verse. I really relish meditating on this verse. So here it is described about the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. In the last two sessions, we started on the discussion on Prahlad Charita. So two sessions we covered, and before that 30 sessions we had a prerequisite on Prahlad Charita, and now we are on fourth chapter and we have to go up to 10th chapter, so we'll see how much time it takes. So here Prahlad Maharaj's wonderful qualities are given. I don't know what points will come, Lord will inspire, but I'm sure whatever points will come in today's class, will everything will be a takeaway, because all of us are aspiring to attain Krishna this very lifetime. And anyone who tries to aspire Krishna, that person should have a role model. And we have one such role model here, Prahlad Maharaj. Obviously, there are many, many role models for us. One we saw was Ambarish Maharaj. And now we are seeing Prahlad. And after that, we saw Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. You know, he's our role model forever. And now we have here Prahlad Maharaj. And look at Prahlad Maharaj's devotion right from childhood. Now, childhood means playing. Balyavastha Krida Sakta, Shankaracharya says. Balyavastha Krida Asakta. So in Balyavastha, in the childhood, a person, a small boy or a small girl, what are they attached to? Krida, playing. I'm sure all of you remember how all of us were playing, especially in the summer vacations. I still remember, you know, getting nice beatings from my mother for coming late at late in the evening for playing. Morning, we'll have breakfast and go out and then directly come in the evening. Very well, you know, we'll be knowing that we'll get nice beatings, but still we'll come in the evening only. So attached for playing. I was sharing yesterday in a youth session that the only tension in the childhood is homework. 2 pages of ABCD we have to write, or 2 ones are 2, 2 twos are 4, you know, that we have to write 2-3 times, whatever. That is a big tension that is there in the head. Apart from that, the only tension which is there is, you know, what should I play today? Where should I go? What should I play? Etc, etc, etc. So, Balyavastha Krida Sakta, there is nothing else a child or a person in the childhood can do except playing. And before that, you know, before that childhood, when the child is in the stage of crawling, the only thing that the child can think of is whatever is there around, you know, taking that and putting in the mouth. Yes, you might have seen, whatever you give it to the child, first thing that he'll do is put it in the mouth. Then when it grows, the next thing that he does is playing. Balyavastha Krida Sakta. And then little bit when the person grows, Taruna Avastha, Taruni Asakta. Then he becomes Asakta in the opposite gender. And then he keeps growing and maybe he gets a job in Bangalore IT company. Yes. And then slowly and steadily the body starts deteriorating, dwindling. And then comes Vriddha Avastha, old age. What happens in old age? Vriddha Avastha Chinta Sakta. Always chinta magna, always absorbed in tensions of life. What all things I did, I shouldn't have done like this, I shouldn't have done like this, etc, etc, etc. This is a natural course of life which everyone goes through. But a devotee is hatke. Devotee does not like natural course of action. He wants to do something hatke, something which is different than others. And here we see Prahlad Maharaj completely different. In the childhood, ideally, Balyavastha Krida Sakta, he should be attached to playing. But in childhood, Prahlad Maharaj, who is just five years old, is not interested in playing. He's not interested in playing. And this personality, who is not interested in playing, what he would do? He gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Small kids being silent. Can you imagine small kids being silent? Once they start speaking, chappad, 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 it goes on and on and on. They don't stop at all. Mummy, what is this? Papa, what is this? This, that, goes on. Sometimes parents say, "Arey, baba, chup baito, sir dukh raha hai mera." Just shut your mouth and keep quiet for some time. But Prahlad Maharaj was quiet and silent. And what is the secret of being quiet and silent? Why was he like that? Because he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In this entire shloka, the third line is my favorite, which says, Krishna graha grihit atma. So many times people say that, mujhe shani ka prakop hai, shani graha ka prakop hai. And then early morning that TV shows, you know, which comes astrology, astrological shows or whatever. So there they say, that if any so-and-so Rashi or so-and-so date or whatever. So you'll be affected by Shani Graha. So you have to go to so-and-so temple and then put oil on so-and-so deity and, you know, do this, do that, etc. Shani ka prakop. Sometimes people say, mera saade saati chal raha hai. Things are not going well. Why? Rahu Ketu ka prabhav hai. Rahu and Ketu. They are affecting me. My life is getting affected. 2020 is completely affected by this. You see, almost, I think we had already 2 eclipses, right? Surya Grahan, then Chandra Grahan. And then Corona Grahan is always there. Yes. And now we are hearing that from Tuesday, it will be complete lockdown for 1 week. And after that, we don't know what's going to happen. So when these nakshatras and these grahas affect us, and by the way, that's a science, okay? So depending on our Rashi, or depending on what Rashi only we call it as, yeah. So depending on our Rashi, depending on our date of birth, time, etc., etc. So all that is, all that will decide that which planet is favorable, which planet is not. And depending on that, since the planets are moving, the planets are not constant. So planets will be moving and the person will get affected because of the influence of the planet. One simple example is the moon planet. So the people who are psychologically a bit affected, or who are what you call it as, a bit of mental case, especially in mental asylums, this is seen that on the full moon day, on the full moon day, that is Purnima, those people will act even more violent because the prabhav is there, the prabhav of the moon. So this is very this is very scientific. You know, there is nothing called a superstition here, and this we can see also. We can observe for ourselves as well. You know, if you're psychologically weak or something like that, so on the full moon day, the person will behave a bit weird. So if suppose someone in the house is behaving weird, go out and see if it's a full moon. So like this, planets affect, planets will influence. But then devotees don't care for all these planets. Yes. Rahu, Ketu, Shani, whatever. Yes. So devotees don't care for all this because the devotees are affected by the most dangerous planet. These Rahu, Ketu are all chutku chutku planets. What they can do, what they can do to a devotee. But the devotees are affected by the most dangerous planet, and that is called as Krishna Graha. It's the most blackish planet, completely black, and the most dangerous one. It's called a supreme. Here Prabhupada says that supreme planet, Krishna, the supreme planet. Obviously, when I'm saying Krishna Graha, we are talking about Krishna. There is no planet named Krishna. Yes, we're talking about Krishna. So when Krishna Graha affects a person, gone, that person is gone. Kuch nahi ho sakta uska, is gone. And let me tell all of y'all, you all have been trapped now. You all have been trapped completely. No, whoever has tricked you to come to Krishna consciousness, you should catch that person and hit him nicely. You have come to Krishna consciousness, and anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness cannot go out of Krishna consciousness. And anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is affected by the most dangerous planet, the planet Krishna, Krishna Graha. And whenever this Krishna Graha affects, Sarvanash, the person's life is gone. Person's life is gone. In one of the temples, one senior devotee, so he was offering prayers in the near the altars. He was standing and offering prayers. So another devotee came, and then he was telling that, Prabhuji, please don't offer much prayers for me. So whenever I want to have fun with some of my youth boys, I would say, see, I'll offer intense prayers for you. Be aware. So the point is that this dangerous planet, when affects someone, that person's material life is gone. Yes, nothing remains in that person's life. Because this Krishna Graha, it takes away everything. Samasta. It takes away everything. And there's one very nice song. I'd like to go through some 2-3 verses of that. It says, Braje prasidam navanita chauram Gopan gananam cha dukula chauram Anika janma jita papa chauram Chauragra ganyam purusham namami. So here the author, or the person who has written the song, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he's offering prayers to this Krishna Graha. And what is he saying? Vraje Prasidam Navanita Chauram. So Krishna Graha, what are the activities of Krishna Graha? He steals Navanita, Makhan. Where in Vraja? Theek, this is acceptable. We know Makhan Chor. Next, now the intensity of his chori goes very, very high. Listen to this. Gopan Gana Naam Cha Dukula Chauram. Now all the Gopagans who are there, all the Vrajvasis who are there. So whatever problems they have, whatever dukha they have, you know, he steals all that. And then the next line says, Aneka Janmar Jitapapa Chauram. If this graha affects someone, whatever papa we have done, in Aneka Janma, many, many lifetimes, whatever papa we have done, everything is taken away by this graha. And then the next stanza, it says, Shri Radhikar Dhyas Chachauram Navambudang Shyamala Kanti Chauram Padashritanam Cha Samasta Chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami. Shri Radhika's heart is stolen by this graha, Krishna graha. And then what else Krishna graha steals? Navam Buddha Shyamala Kanti. He has not stolen, but he is very, the Bilwamangal Thakur is very, nicely is writing this point that this Krishna graha is black planet, right? So where that black color is coming from? It's coming from Navam Buddha Shyamala Kanti. Whose Kanti? Whose complexion? Navam Buddha, Ambuddha basically means clouds. Nava means newly formed clouds. Which clouds? Newly formed rain clouds. So they are black. So he is saying that you have stolen the color of the newly formed monsoon clouds. But the third line is very dangerous. It says, Padashritanam cha samasta chauram. Anyone who surrenders to Krishna, he takes away everything. And what are those everything? All the sufferings and miseries. All the sufferings and miseries are taken away by Krishna. In this way, we see that this Krishna graha, still more lines are there, but those are more dangerous lines, so I will not read. So this Krishna graha, which is there, only fortunate people will get that opportunity to get affected by Krishna graha. Anyone, Era Gera, Nattu Kera, Tom, Dick and Harry will not get that opportunity. So, small people, small planets will affect. Rahu, Ketu, Shani, this, that. But when it comes to Krishna Graha, only very, very qualified people will get this opportunity. And any time we become qualified and when Krishna Graha affects us, that is the time we can say that we are in the safe zone. Because anyone who is affected by Krishna Graha cannot be affected by anything of this world. Currently, we are affected by so many things. We have been affected by people. We have been affected by Devi Devtas. We are affected by the grahas and nakshatras and other things. But when it comes to a person who is affected by Krishna graha, that person is in the safe zone. Just imagine getting affected by Krishna graha. See Prahlad Maharaj's situation. Anyone who gets affected by Krishna graha, that person becomes fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And that person will not understand only. He'll have a question mark always. How these people are doing sense gratification? How is it possible to do sense gratification? Like as of now, we are thinking, how these Chinese are eating bats and rats? For us, it's like a question mark. How these Chinese can eat cockroaches? It's a question mark. Same thing for a pure devotee. He thinks, how are these people doing sense gratification? A pure devotee thinks like that. In fact, a pure devotee, even the Devi Devtas in the heavenly planets, what talk about pure devotees? Even Devi Devtas from heavenly planets, when they see us doing sense gratification here in this material world, they say, gone. Oh, these people, why? What these people are doing? These people are behaving like hogs eating stool. So whatever enjoyment we have in this material world on this planet, the Devi Devtas are looking at us and they're actually equating us to hogs. So, the enjoyment that we have in this world is equivalent to the hog eating stool. And when a pure devotee sees, he sees, you're the kid, you're the child of a Now, multi-billionaire father, you are the kid of whom? You are the kid of Krishna. You are child of Krishna. Why are you struggling like this? Why are you slogging like this, a donkey? Why are you doing that? And then the pure devotee goes and then he distributes the knowledge of Krishna. He educates the person about who is Krishna. He educates him about the chanting of the holy names. So when a person is affected by Krishna Graha, this is what happens to him. A very nice shloka from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And the purport Prabhupada says, right? Stavara jangama dekhena dekhetara murti sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spurti. So currently, when it comes to us, neophyte devotees, for us, we have to exclusively go to the altar, and then when we see the photo or the deity, then we see the Lord. See means we see the painting or we see the structure, the form. We don't see the Lord as of now. Yes. But since we're taking darshan of the Lord with awe and reverence, it is equivalent to taking darshan of the actual form of the Lord or the original personality. But when it comes to a pure devotee who is affected by Krishna Graha, what happens to him? Sthavara jangama dekhe. Sthavara means the things which are still, not moving. And jangama means the things which are moving. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tara murti. So in every moving and non-moving, animate and inanimate, what does a pure devotee see? The one who is affected by Krishna Graha, he sees Krishna. He sees Krishna. Yes. A pure devotee, he pays obeisance even to an ant because he seeks Krishna in the ant also. Yes. For us, it becomes difficult to see Krishna in the photo also. That is our situation. And then he says, Sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spurti. Wherever he sees, wherever he glances, everywhere he is able to get darshan of Krishna. His ishta dev, Shri Krishna. So nice, isn't it? This day we have to aspire for. The goal is very high. Goal is very high. Time pass nahi kar sakte hum log. There is no time to do time pass. Yes. Goal is very high. We have to reach that goal. And it is achievable. Because many, many devotees have achieved. And now look at our fortune. We are there in a bona fide sampradaya under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. Now what else we need? We are at the right path. Now the only thing is we have to understand the goal and be serious in bhakti. I was telling one of the couple whom I was speaking to that we all are already sincere. Only one thing is missing, seriousness. We all are sincere, no doubt. That is the reason we come to the class, we are chanting and other things. But then one thing that is missing is seriousness. We have to become more serious, more serious. Have you seen during examinations? I'm sure all of us have experienced this. One day before exam, how much serious we are when it comes to studies. We'll studying very nicely and then we'll make timetable and then, we'll say that, okay, 1 hour I have to complete one chapter and this hour I'll do this, etc. And sometimes people forget to take their meals also. And then the parents have to come and say, no, eat something, what will happen to you and things like that. Yes. We are so serious at that time. But then that same seriousness is not there when it comes to devotional service. Yes. In devotional service, now, our thing is, even after eating and nicely sleeping, etc., still doing bhakti becomes very difficult. Isn't it? There is one nice line in North India, they say, Bhuke bhajan na hoy gopala, lelo apan kanthi mala. I'm not able to do bhakti, with empty stomach. You take away the neck beads, kanthi mala. You take away, I cannot do bhakti. Yes. But who is asking us to do bhuka? Who is asking us to do bhajan at bhuka pet? Now we are asked, eat nicely and do bhajan. Eat, dance, relish and do bhajan. Do sadhana. So this point of becoming serious in bhakti is very important. Very, very important. We have to ask this question. Am I really serious in bhakti or not? What do you mean by seriousness? Seriousness means not wasting a single moment. Not wasting a single moment in doing anything nonsense, useless, unproductive stuff. If you're doing something productive, okay. Materially also, okay. If something is productive, something is helping to maintain our body, no problem. But then when we are just wasting our time, then we are not serious. One of the quality of a pure devotee is avyartha kalatvam. Avyartha kalatvam. That basically means a pure devotee will not waste a single moment. I'm not saying minute, I'm saying moment. Not even a single moment. So this is a practice that every devotee has to do. A devotee has to keep analyzing. See, a devotee means self-introspective personality. He is a devotee. Self-introspective. Every moment he's always introspecting, or every moment is introspecting that, am I utilizing my time properly or not? Am I serious or not? Am I sincerely following the instructions of my guru or not? These are the characteristics when it comes to a sincere and a serious devotee. He always keeps thinking like that. So this analysis is needed when it comes to a sincere and a serious devotee. And when we become serious in bhakti, Krishna reciprocates. Then Krishna will give us, you know, one nice kajal, the ointment that can be applied to eyes, and then, you know, we look beautiful. Females look good. I don't know when men apply how they look, but Krishna gives that ointment. Krishna gives that kajal. And that brand of kajal or that eye ointment is Prema. Prema brand. Yes. Prema Anjana. Prema ointment or Prema kajal. And then as soon as the person applies that kajal on his eyes, that ointment on his eyes, what happens? He's able to get Sakshat Darshan of Krishna all the time within his heart. That's what is the shloka in Brahma Samhita. Brahma is glorifying pure devotees. He says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayantim Yamshama Sundara Machintya Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So a person who has anointed his eyes with prema, prema anjana, what happens to that person? That person is a santa or a sadhu. And that person is able to get the sakshat darshan of the Lord. Yam shama sundara. He gets the darshan of shama sundara. Achintya guna swarupam. With all his achintya guna and swarupa. All his wonderful qualities and his beautiful form. Yes. And for how long? Sadaiva. Eternally. So this state, you know, when a person reaches, Prahlad Maharaj reached that stage. You know, when we reach that stage, we will relish what Prahlad Maharaj is relishing. You know, we'll see in the future verses that how he's relishing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada makes very important points in this purport, where he says that an exalted devotee or Mahatma who is rarely to be seen remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. So this aspect is something which will make us understand that how a devotee is always satisfied. Now, we have been speaking about this from a long time. Devotee is internally satisfied. You remember in the initial classes I had made this point that spirituality is like an umbrella, bhakti is like an umbrella. So when you go out in the rains with the umbrella, you don't get wet. Similarly, you know, when you have bhakti in your life and when you practice bhakti sincerely and seriously, it acts like an umbrella. So there are incessant miseries and sufferings, you know, which are there, but they cannot touch you. This was a statement that I had made. So let me give the purport of that statement. I guess in the first class of Gita course, you know, I had said this. So what that basically means is, when the person, you know, is on that level where he's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, whatever problems are there in life, that cannot touch that person because he's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He does not get disturbed with small things of this world. He does not get disturbed with anything of this world. Yes. He always keeps thinking about one thing, that how can I serve Krishna better? How can I really give pleasure to Krishna? He's always in that mood, always. Like for example, so India-Pakistan match is going on in the last ball and maybe 4 runs are needed. Last ball and 4 runs are needed. Everyone will be watching with complete attention. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi. Ekah kuru nandan. With one-pointed focus, they'll be fixing their eyes and mind and heart and entire existence on the screen. I sometimes wonder, you know, what would happen to the person, you know, who is bowling and the person who is batting. So the audience on the side of the bowler, they will be like having full eyes on the bowler and they'll be giving, you know, lots of heat from their eyes. And the person is batting, for him also the same thing. They have so much of pressure, both of them. Yes. So in this case, you see, when I'm talking about a person who is mad about cricket, okay, not people like various devotees. So they are not very much interested in all this. But then the ones who are really mad about this, they would be just going crazy. And even if there's a bomb blast on the side, you know, they'll not be affected. They'll not be affected. The mothers will keep shouting around, "Arey, do this, do that." But they're like completely absorbed, completely absorbed. And then after the match is over, you were telling something, what happened? So what is this? So something is happening around, but the person is so absorbed, you know, in that particular activity that he is not able to understand what is going on around. Same thing with devotees. For materialists, it's only, you know, momentary occasions. But when it comes to devotees, that is their existence, completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. And they are least bothered about what is going on around. They'll not understand only how this world is working. They'll not understand how people are doing sense gratification. Bapre, kitna mehnat lagta hoga sense gratification karna. Now, a person who always, you know, is a distinction holder throughout, you know, his entire career, entire school life, college life, etc. For him, when he sees, you know, a person failing again and again, he'll think, my God, how can someone fail in exam? Same thing, a pure devotee will keep thinking, how can someone do sense gratification? How is it possible to do sense gratification? Well, a devotee can never think of doing that. Never. That is the case when it comes to a pure devotee. So for him, he's so absorbed, always seeing the Lord within the core of his heart. And a simple example that is given when it comes to seeing the Lord everywhere is when a person wears, say, some red glasses or yellow glasses or whatever, he would see everything red around. Similarly, a person who, you know, applies the prema anjana, he sees Krishna everywhere. And you see, there are many foolish people. They will say that, "Arey, Bhagwan to sab jagah pe hai na. So Bhagwan to sab jagah pe hai, to mandir kyu jana hai? Why go to temple? You know, Lord is there everywhere." And such people, you know, they don't know what is bhakti. They don't know, you know, what is this prema anjana, how costly this is. And they say that Lord is everywhere. Arey, Lord is everywhere, but can you see? Can you see? Since you're a fool and you cannot see, so the temple is there where you can go and see the deity. You can take darshan of the Lord. Yes. So in India, this is very, very common. Very common. Why go to temple? Lord is everywhere. Arey, Bhagwan dil mein hai. Bhagwan dil mein hai. We should take a chaku immediately, tear open his chest and search for where is God. Bhagwan dil mein hai. Arey, Bhagwan dil mein hai, lekin realize wahan hai. Have we realized that Lord is there in our heart? Just to make a statement that Lord is there in the heart is not a very big thing. You know, we can just speak. Anyone can, in India, if you give a topic God, anyone can give a class for 2-3 hours. They'll give their own concocted ideas. But it's not easy, you know, to take darshan of the Lord within the heart. That needs a lot of qualification. The person has to be pure. The person has to be literally free from all the contamination. Then that person will be able to get Sakshat Darshan in the heart all the time. Yes. Such a person who has purchased that very, very costly kajal ointment, which is called as Prema Anjana. And when he has applied, you know, he has done his makeup by applying that ointment to his eyes. Such a person can see God everywhere. But people, you know, who have no idea of all this, and when they make the statement, Lord is everywhere, you can understand their foolishness. And Lord is so merciful. He knows that not everyone will not be able to purchase this very costly ointment. So he manifests himself in the form of deity as Archa Vigraha. He says, "Arey, you foolish people, you will take some time, you know, to get that ointment. So till then, you know, you come here in the temple and take my darshan. I'm present here personally." So this aspect of people around saying that Lord is everywhere, you should ask them that, "No, premanjana hai, aapke pas thoda idhar bhi de do agar hai to." Yes. And then the next point that is made here is, the symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. So sometimes devotees ask that, "Prabhu, can you please tell that how to give up, you know, nonsensical things that we're doing currently?" So there is only one solution. What is that? That is getting higher taste in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna talks about this in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 59th shloka, where he says that when a person gets higher taste in Krishna consciousness, the person will give up the lower taste. So losing now interest in material activities is not an exclusive thing. Yes, that's a byproduct. That's a byproduct of doing bhakti sincerely and seriously. Yes. Many times, you'll see materialists, they are very, they're in confused state. Now, how to give up these bad habits or whatever. There'll be so many questions on Quora and then so many other questions, so many places, different forums. They'll ask how to give up this bad habit, that bad habit, etc., etc. And there'll be a lot of suggestions also. Distract your mind, do this, do that, whatever. But all that is not a permanent solution. All that is just temporary solution here and there. But what is the permanent solution? Permanent solution is getting a higher taste. Higher taste. Then we can give up the lower one very easily. Simple example. Now, when it comes to our day-to-day life. All of us in our childhood, we played with the different toys. Yes, you remember those toys where you hold that toy and the shake and then you hear a lot of noise from that. A lot of sound will come. Chan, chan, chan. So that was a play, play time, we were doing that. Now just imagine at that time, when the toy would be given to us, we'll be so attached to it. We'll hold it and then if someone takes it away, we'll cry. Yes. And now what is our state? If someone gives it, then we'll cry. Kyun de rahe? Bachcha ho kya main? Yes. So why is it that now we are not attached to that? And what is that? What is that basically? We have crossed that stage. Now we've got something higher. A person, like for example, a school going kid, say 4th standard or 5th standard. Now he wants cycle. And then you get that chan chan for him and give it to him. Now he'll cry. What are you doing? Why are you giving me this? I don't want this. I want cycle. I want this. I want that. So now something higher is needed. So as soon as a person gets something higher, the person gives up the lower things. Same thing when it comes to bhakti. So when we start relishing bhakti on a higher platform, what happens? We will give up the lower things very, very easily. But then our situation is na ghar ka na ghat ka. Yes. As I already said, unfortunately, fortunately, all of you are trapped. And what is that trap? Now we are here. So when it comes to materialist, you see, so materialist will be enjoying, you'll see externally, we'll see, oh, they're enjoying. They can eat whatever they want. They eat whatever, all the non-veg stuff. They'll drink alcohol. They'll go to bars and pubs and things like that. Parties, picnics, etc., etc. So when you see, look at them and they're like, oh, bapre, they're enjoying so nicely. So amazing. And then in the class, you hear about pure devotees. And then you look at pure devotees. Hey, they're also enjoying. They're enjoying so much that they're crying incessantly. They're chanting Krishna and then tears are flowing from the eyes. They are in different bliss altogether. And then we are in between. Idhar ka bhi nahi, udhar ka bhi nahi. We don't belong to this part, this gang, and we don't belong to that gang also. We are in between somewhere. But then when it comes to a devotee, he understands that I've already given up this side, the material side. Chhod diya abhi. Kya iske bare mein kya sochna abhi? Now it's just sinful. All these activities are sinful. Anyways, these activities will take me to hell only. So a devotee does not look towards the material aspects, but a devotee aspires to go towards pure devotional service. And how can a devotee become a pure devotee or go towards pure devotional service? By becoming more and more serious in one's endeavor in Krishna consciousness. He does not compromise on any aspects of bhakti. Once heard from Guru, he'll implement that. That is called as Guru Nishtha. A person who has got Guru Nishtha, Guru has spoken and I have to just implement. That's it. There is nothing in between. No choice. No options A, B, C, D. Guru gives one statement, do it. And the person has to just do it. You know what Prabhupada would do? Let's go to Prabhupada Leela. So Prabhupada would be sometimes sitting in the room, with a globe. And then he would just turn the globe. And then some disciple will come. And then Prabhupada would be turning the globe and Prabhupada would stop the globe and point towards one country. And then you tell the disciple, go here. Go here and open a center. And the disciple will just do it. We'll just do it. That is called Guru Nishtha. Once what happened is, Prabhupada got a chance to go to Russia for 3 days. So in that 3 days, Prabhupada had to do a lot of things. So first day, Prabhupada's servant, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, so he was going on the road and then he found one boy. And then he felt that this boy is spiritually inclined. So he took that boy to Prabhupada. So first day, Prabhupada educated him very nicely about various things. And he was also asking various questions. Prabhupada was answering. Second day, Prabhupada gave him Diksha. and Prabhupada told him what he's supposed to do. But Prabhupada could spend only 3 days in Russia. And at that time in Russia, what do you call it? Iron curtains. Iron curtains. Basically, it was very, very strict. Very, very strict. And no other religion can be practiced. And people were sort of atheistic. And a lot of nonsense was happening there. And in that, there's one devotee now. There's only one devotee. Yes. And then, you know, he's preaching to others. Now, that devotee who has got, you know, a session by Prabhupada only for 2 days max, how much can he do, right? So, Prabhupada, you know, told his one of his Australian disciple. So, you know, he was sharing with his Australian lady disciple that you know, she was serving somewhere in US, if I'm not wrong. So, he told that in Russia, I had gone, and then, you know, there's a nice boy, his name is so-and-so, and he's preaching now, he started preaching, but then he does not know how to do deity worship, cook, etc., etc. So, Prabhupada said, then that lady disciple asked, so Prabhupada, what can I do for you? How can I help you? So, Prabhupada said, I want you to go there and get married to him. Now, this is like, you know, what do you mean by going to Russia at that time was, firstly, giving up all the devotee association. You cannot practice bhakti openly in Russia. Firstly, getting inside Russia was very, very difficult at that time. So getting inside Russia was dangerous. Going there and then not having devotee association at all, that is dangerous. And then you cannot practice bhakti openly. Now that is dangerous for a, you know, sadhaka. So she knew all these things. But since Prabhupada said, she said, okay, Prabhupada. And she went. She went inside and then I guess she got married, and they were caught red-handed doing bhakti or something, and she was removed from Russia. So she stayed outside Russia, and then she would be always in touch with the husband. Look at the fate. She followed the instruction. She went and she got married, and then forever she was outside after that. She was not in physical association with the husband also. This is what I heard from superiors. So see, this is the thing, you know, this is called as Guru Nishtha, ready to do anything, you know, for the Guru. So when this is there, you know, following the instructions as it is, the person from a very, very low level, a person can go to a very high level of bhakti. Because what happens is, when a person follows the instructions given, you know, by the Guru, what happens at that time, even if the person is not qualified, when the person accepts the instructions and when he starts following, he gets the mercy of Guru and the Guru empowers him to follow the instruction. And then, you know, when he starts doing it, automatically he, you know, rises himself to a different platform. And this was the secret of all the Prabhupada disciples. You see, most of them were hippies. They were drug addicts and, you know, they were into so much of intoxication and so much of illicit sex and meat eating and other things. But they were completely dependent on Prabhupada. They wanted to please Prabhupada. They wanted to follow the instructions of Prabhupada. And since they were doing that, so what happened? Look at the situation now. The same personalities, they are on different platform altogether now, currently. They have become initiating spiritual masters. They are giving Diksha. They have come to that level. So this is called as following the instruction. So we have to be serious in bhakti. And then when we follow the instructions, what happens? We march towards pure devotional service. And when we become pure devotee, you know, what else is needed in life? You know, we are completely satisfied within. Where we are, you know, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And we are always in trance of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we see that Prahlad Maharaj, a very dear disciple of Narada Muni, who would follow all the instructions of Narada Muni, was such a great devotee, such a pure devotee, that he was captured by Krishna Graha. And when he was captured by Krishna Graha, this personality was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, not having any taste for anything material, and always absorbed and tasting Krishna consciousness. Now he was on that level. But then when what are the different symptoms when a person becomes fully Krishna conscious? That is talked about in the next few shlokas. We have time, we'll take one more shloka. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. This is called very, very beautiful state of existence. Beautiful state of existence. Wherein a devotee becomes a puppet in the hand of the Lord. Anyways, we all are puppets. But now currently we are puppets in the hand of whom? Maya. In the hand of Maya, Maya Shakti, Prakriti, the three modes of material nature. So we are puppets, they are moving us. But when a person becomes a pure devotee, he crosses the three modes of material nature, that is Tamoguna, Rajoguna and Sattvaguna, and he comes to Shuddha Sattva. That is pure devotional service. And when he comes to that platform, then Maya Devi, she runs away and then Krishna comes there. And then Krishna starts controlling that person. And when Krishna starts controlling that person, now what else he needs in life? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the well-wisher of everyone. And the one who is there in the heart, understanding what do we need and what we don't need, what we really like, etc., etc., what is good for us. He knows everything. And that person orchestrates everything in the devotee's life. And such a devotee is always safe. Always safe. Because Krishna is personally enacting in their life. Let's see what Prabhupada says in the purport. A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Hope we all remember our childhood. When we were there in the cradle, or when we were just crawling, in the crawling stage. How all those things were happening? Eating, drinking, sleeping, evacuating, attending nature's call. Just happening automatically. Mother was taking care of everything. Same thing happens with a pure devotee. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child. He was anyways a small child, but here he's talking about a pure devotee. So he was exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. See, this stage, when a person reaches, no fear in life. No anxieties in life. No tension at all. Why should we take tension at that time? The devotee is so stubborn at that time. So he's ordering Krishna, you do, why should I do? You do all these things. You do all these things. And at that particular stage, Krishna also, he cares for the devotee like a mother caring for the small child. See, Krishna is ready to care for everyone. Krishna is not partial to anyone. But then when Krishna is giving care, we should be ready to accept care, right? Currently, we are in a stage where when Krishna is coming and giving care to us, we are saying, Nature, I can manage myself. That is what is our current situation. But when we become pure devotee, we are ready to accept that care that is given by Krishna. We are ready to be on the lap of Krishna always. Currently, Krishna is pulling us and putting on the lap, we are running away. He's saying, nahi, mujhe jana hai, mujhe wahan jana hai, yahan jana hai. But a pure devotee, he always likes to be on the lap of Krishna. Always under the protection of Krishna. So this is the qualification or the quality of a pure devotee, where he is always absorbed in the thoughts of Govinda. And when that happens, it means he's ready to accept that care given by Krishna or Govinda. And when that care is given and this person is accepting, so there is no question of anxiety in this. No question of anxiety. Nowadays, so many people are getting into depression, taking pills for stress and depression and so on and so forth. But the permanent solution for all the anxieties in life is this, becoming a pure devotee. That is a permanent solution for all the anxieties of this material world. See, one anxiety will go, another anxiety will come. Corona, if it goes, something else will come. Big deal. The material world is full of anxieties. So now, as of now, we are searching some solution for corona. Later, we need to search some solution for something else, some other problem. And all these are temporary. But the permanent thing is becoming a pure devotee. So we have to become a pure devotee. And how can we become pure devotee? As I already said, we can become a pure devotee only and only by practicing bhakti seriously under the guidance of Guru and following the instructions given by the Guru. This is the most important aspect. And once that is done, the next shloka, see what happens. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the person advances in Krishna consciousness. What happened to Prahlad Maharaj? So see, this is the chetavani, this is the warning. When we become pure devotee, this is what will happen. So decide, do you want to become pure devotee or not? If you don't want to, then stop coming to the sessions after this. Okay, so what are the symptoms? He sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Now, this, these things, so you might say, no, we also cry, we also laugh. But we have a reason behind crying and laughing. Here, this person did not have any reason. Achanak se, he'll start crying loudly. Achanak se, you know, he'll start laughing loudly. And he'll sometimes dance and sing and things like that. And this is without music, everything. Without music. And the example, very close example can be, we hear some very, very good news, happy news. It's how jubilant we are at that time. We'll jump, from that particular place wherever we're sitting. And we'll be very happy at that time. And sometimes people are so happy that tears flow from the eyes. So here, that is momentary happiness. This world is dukkhalayam, so only momentary happiness we'll get. But a person who's in Krishna consciousness, he gets a permanent happiness and permanently state is this. Permanently. Always, he sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes, he's just jumping in ecstasy, sometimes singing, not movie songs, he's just singing Krishna's holy names loudly. Let's see in the purport what Prabhupada says. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunya itam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone, he cries in separation. And sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs just like a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In nectar devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. So he is able to see Krishna face to face. So when he sees Krishna, he is jumping in ecstasy. He is singing. And when he's not able to see Krishna, he's running around and crying and crying and crying. So this happens with this has happened in various pastimes we see in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. When Lord was acting as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get darshan of the Lord. So he's acting as the Lord Lord is acting as the Lord and Lord is taking darshan of the Lord. Don't try to understand. Just assume that there's a devotee and he's getting darshan of the Lord. So he would get darshan of the Lord, and when Lord will disappear, he would just go around running. Krishna kothai, Krishna kothai, Krishna kothai. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then Srivas Thakur, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas. So this Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur would tell that Krishna is there in your heart. Why are you running around? And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Krishna is there in my heart, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his finger, he started tearing apart his chest to see Krishna. And at that time, Srivas Thakur was feeling, "Are kya bol diya maine isko? What I told him?" And then, he would make him peaceful. So actually, that's very, very intense description. I'll not get into that. It's very difficult to understand that situation. But the point, that I'm trying to make is, this is the stage that we have to reach. Now just analyze where we have to reach and where are we currently. Currently, we cry when we don't get things for our sense gratification. Correct? Whenever we lose something which we are using for our sense gratification, we feel sad. When we gain something for our sense gratification, we become happy and we are jubilant. Right? But that's the most abominable condition we are in. Most abominable. Most abominable. Filthy condition we are in. Filthy. Only when we come to that level wherein, you know, we want, you know, like for example, we are in a situation where when we are engaged in devotional service, we are happy. And as soon as we are removed out, you know, from our service, or we are removed, or for a moment we forget to think about Krishna, and when we when that situation comes and when we go crazy, that why I'm not able to remember Krishna, why I'm not able to do service, that is a very, very high level. You know, that is the state that we all have to reach. But then as of now, because of our impurities, because of the past contamination, the past, you know, so many lifetimes, papa that we have done, all that is actually making us go crazy. And what is that craziness? That craziness is for sense gratification. I want to enjoy this. I want to enjoy that. And what is that enjoyment all about? Indriya trupti. I want to give enjoyment to what? To all my senses, indriyas. And these indriyas will never be satisfied. Have you seen? Like for example, you have eaten very nicely one day. Now you had very nice feast. Tell me, the second day, does the tongue say that, nee, today no need of anything. Except if your stomach is very crazy, you know, with a lot of disorders, then it's a different thing. But in a normal state, you're still healthy. The stomach has not got affected. Next day, does the tongue say that, are, kal to itna kha liya, I'm so satisfied. After this, I don't want anything. Don't feed me anything. Will our tongue anytime say this? Never. Never. Similarly, all our other four senses, you know, which are there. Our senses will never be satisfied. Never. This indriya trupti, the sense gratification that we're doing, is like filling water in a big drum which has got a big hole below. We are filling water and then it's just draining out. And then we are saying, are, kahan gaya? Let me fill again. Fill it. Again, it will drain out. This is what is happening. And this is what we are doing lifetime after lifetime. And we are thinking we are doing great job. We are doing great job. This is what we are thinking. But then this is just time waste, you know, foolishness. But then once a devotee understands that what I'm currently doing and where I have to reach, he starts marching towards that goal. And such a person is called serious and sincere devotee. He understands, okay, these are sense gratificatory activities. And then when the guru says that, no, these are sense gratificatory activities, I want you to do these devotional activities. And then when the devotee starts doing those devotional activities, giving up these sense gratificatory activities, he starts getting situated on a higher level. Right? And it's not easy. Huh? Sense gratification, chodna and all is not easy. It will take time. But then we have to take a call in our life. You know, we have to just, you know, bluntly cut it. I was giving this example yesterday to one couple. So I was telling this that, you know, we cannot give it up gradually. It doesn't happen like that. You know, it has to be cut, like the four regulative principles. Suppose someone is doing meat eating or having alcohol. You know, it has to be stopped bluntly. Hard stop. It's like switching off the fan. So when you switch off the fan, what happens? There is no electric supply, but still the fan will keep moving for some time. Right? So currently our situation is we are doing sense gratification. We stop it. You know, I mean, these four illicit activities I'm talking about. We stop these sinful activities. And still we'll have urges to do those sinful activities because the fan is still moving. And then after some time, it will stop. And then no one can do anything to us at that time. No urges will come at that time. Right? But that hard stop has to be given in life. That is very, very important. And who can give that hard stop in life? A person who is able to follow the instructions of Guru. The person who is chanting, you know, every single day. And person who is aspiring to reach that goal where Prahlad Maharaj is. Yes. So this is called the right goal and the right aspiration. So with this, I would like to pause here. And if you have any questions, you can ask. Okay, there are some questions. Vishwadharpu, are you the same person? Are you a student in 9th standard or 10th standard? If I'm not wrong, please text me. And I'm getting confused if you are the same person. We get serious during an exam due to a type of stress. So we can't get that stress easily. So how do we get that kind of stress? Okay, that analogy which I gave about exam. Yeah, before exam, we are serious. No, that's what you're asking about. Now also we can become serious. What is the exam in someone's life? Human's life, what is the exam? Exam is death. Death is examination. Mm-hmm. And do we know when the death is going to come? Corona, so many people are dying.
Yes.
God forbid this shouldn't happen, but our number can also come. Yes, our number can also come. We never know. So we cannot say that, okay, exam abhi bahut baad mein hai to dekhte hai. Ye exam kabhi bhi aa sakta hai. This exam can come anytime. Right? So what we are supposed to do? We have to think that exam is tomorrow and we have to prepare today. Like this, every day should be like that. Tomorrow is the exam. So how should I prepare today? Mm-hmm. Parikshit Maharaj knew 7 days before that he's going to die after 7 days. We don't know that also. Maybe our bomb can blast tomorrow. Right? So this meditation should be there and bhakti should be done, you know, with that urgency. Can we chant while walking if we cannot sit in one place for longer time? But when we walk, thoughts come, but while sitting, it is better. Okay, we can walk, but that walking should be, you know, small distance to and fro. It's not that we go out for a walking and then, you know, have nice scenic beauty and we keep watching all that. No. So to and fro in a small distance. In a room, you know, you just keep walking. You can see Prabhupada's video where he's chanting while walking. It has to be like that. To and fro, to and fro, to and fro. So when we do that, then thoughts will not come. Much thoughts will not come. When you see new things around, so what happens is the mind will trigger. Suppose you see something and then that something will relate to something else in the past. And then it will start relating and lots of thoughts will come like that. Ideally, yes, we can sit at one place and chant. But then if a lot of health issues are there, we can keep walking. More than health issues, if you're feeling sleepy, then we can get up and we can walk. Yes, so we can do that. Okay.